MODO.US.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning in to Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 14, Episode 27, Bob's Ask Me Anything. And that's exactly what we got this week. So before we get started, Bob, I think we have a few things to talk about, right?
Yeah, we do. And thank you for enunciating the K on the second take.
I think you just leave it.
Yeah. Thank you, Susan, for the super chat. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to meeting you, too. Okay, yeah, a couple things. Just want to get out of the way before we have. There's been, appreciate you guys all listening to some of this nonsense this week. This was going to be a week off. Decided not to do that and just do a little bit of bonus content. And I tell you what, streaming by yourself doing an Ask Me Anything is...
He did it that time.
A bit awkward because it's just me staring at a screen by myself, talking to myself. But hopefully everybody enjoyed that. We got to answer a lot of questions. On the serious side, give you guys an update of what's going on. Susan just sent a super chat. I want to know about the next season. Today I finally got the, I think I had mentioned it in the AMA, but I got the, estimate from the prosecutor's office for for the redaction of the file. And I got that check delivered today. So that process should be moving. They said it should take about a week. Don't know what we're going to get. I've had conversations back and forth with the DA and with the FOIA person, and they keep not answering. Like they'll respond to questions until I say, okay, and where are the trial exhibits? And then I don't get an answer. So I don't know if they're included in there for the amount of money they're charging me for the redactions, considering that I very specifically, I said, I don't need the trial transcript. I had a list of things I don't need. I said, I want the investigative file. I want trial exhibits. I want recordings. And the fact that they charged me almost $1,000 to do the redaction work, I'm certainly hoping that the trial exhibits are going to be in there. That's going to be part of it. Because otherwise, there shouldn't be much that they're giving me. So I don't know what they would be spending a lot of time redacting on. So things are moving forward with that. I made a bunch of phone calls today. Been doing some work today on the case. Spent most of the afternoon on it. I'm super excited. I'm very excited to get this story out there, plus the work we're going to do. And part of what really got me excited for the storytelling was our guest that is going to be on Sunday. And for those of you that are watching live, I'll be interviewing this person tomorrow morning. But I was listening to her podcast to get prepped for the interview. This week's special guest is Susan Simpson from the Proof Podcast. I'm super excited to talk to Susan. We've been texting all week, but I haven't talked to Susan in a long time. They just wrapped up season 2 of Proof, and Susan's going to be coming on. So if you're watching this live and you're a patron, tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m., I'm going to be interviewing Susan. And as always, our patrons get to join in live during that interview. So if you have any questions on the fly, you get a little sneak peek of it. You can ask questions on the fly. So make sure you watch Patreon for that, so that you can join that. So we got Susan coming on Sunday. We're jamming forward with the new season, the new case, gathering everything. The thing with as far as getting it done, I literally have a list of 22 people that I want to interview for that season. So I'm trying to get those scheduled, and a lot of them I've got to track down and find them. Luckily, as you guys know, it's a local one, so that's not like I got to get an airplane, and if I don't get them in 3 days, then I don't get them. So I have plans. I've already got some scheduled. And as soon as, you know, as you guys know, part of like the thing with us taking this week off, it's just a really busy time a year for me. That's why I said I want to push the season till June to make sure that we get our feet under our ground, my feet under me, I think is the word I was looking at, the phrase I was looking for. Because this is, as you guys know, my daughter's a senior. She's about to graduate. So besides just, you know, normal busy stuff, there's all this, you know, there's graduations and baccalaureates and or senior year softball games and award ceremonies. There's just constant stuff right now. So I'm trying to just get through that so we can focus 100%. As you guys also know, got help coming. Hired somebody to come in to help with research and writing and editing. So she's going to be starting because she's also about to graduate. So as soon as she graduates, Erica is going to be joining the team. But it's coming. So the season is coming. I think it's going to be a great season. It's a great case. And I haven't said this before in a long time, but I am thoroughly, especially after the stuff I got through today, thoroughly confident that this conviction is going to be overturned based on the work that we're doing here. So it's going to be awesome. And that's before you guys even jump in and start really digging, which are, you guys are the brains behind the whole operation. Last thing I want to touch on as far as the along the lines of housekeeping is Delphi news. We just because remember when Bob Mata was on talking about Delphi, the defense had filed a motion to force a speedy trial, which is Bob was explaining then that puts a lot of pressure on the prosecution to get things ready, but also puts a lot of pressure on the defense. So the trial is supposed to be in like I think it was supposed to start like next week. I don't think many people expected it to really go through as we were catching up because, you know, the defense is trying to get stuff from the prosecution. So there's all this happening. Well, as of today, which is Tuesday, the defense withdrew that motion. So the trial will not be starting next week. The trial will be, I believe it was scheduled for October now. So there's a little more time for discovery and investigation. So no trial starting next week. It's going to be in Delphi. It's going to be coming a little bit later in the fall. I don't think that we have any other important information to share. So we can get right into that. Did you guys, I always ask you guys first what you thought of the episode. You probably, were there any of those questions that you were like, I have a follow-up?
Let's see. Oh, well, I think you forgot to mention that you did know who I was because you listened to Jimmy Pardo. When they said, how did you and Janet meet?
Yes.
I wrote you, but you did know. It wasn't completely out of nowhere.
What did I say?
I don't know. I think you said Janet had been a listener and she wrote me and then I did her podcast. And then we talked about
She was one of my favorite Jimmy Pardo guests.
It's very important to me that the record be clear.
That I knew she was famous when she wrote it.
No, I thought it was great. I loved everybody's questions. I thought it was awesome.
It should be noted.
Really fun episode.
That for a man who has snubbed Idris Elba to his face, you shouldn't take too much offense that I didn't remember that little detail.
Fair point.
I do have an update on one of the questions that was asked. Somebody had asked about the pheasants, I think, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a tragic end there that involved a power outage.
Mm-hmm.
But Tuesday, McFarland Pheasants, which is who I ordered the chicks from, I was in communication with them about some other stuff with the order. And then they're like, well, if you were having issues, you know, we can always send you more. And I said, it wouldn't have mattered because of this power. So no matter how healthy they were, the power outage thing happened. And they said, nope, we're sending you 200 more pheasants, which will be here on Thursday.
Okay.
So
we get to, it's official.
You get another 200 baby birds.
Do not kill those pheasants. I'm begging you.
I didn't kill the first one.
Please don't kill those pheasants.
I'll tell you.
Kill is a strong word.
I'm scarred from that.
Here's my follow-up from the episode. When you were talking about your teenagers and you being a firefighter and talking about all the incidents of teenagers driving and issues, I was like, please will you set Maddox and Parker down together and go through that again?
Oh, happy to do it.
Yes.
To scare the fear god.
And for those that don't know, Maddox is my son, Parker's Bob's son, both 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Not there yet, but they're coming.
Or, as I suggested in my set on Saturday, at this age, it's a good time to drop them off at the fire station because it only goes downhill from here. You know.
That's right.
I was thinking about that. I was like, you need to set those two down together, and that would be wonderful.
When I was doing it with Bella, when I was having my talk with Bella about it at some point, Becky was like, enough, you're scaring me. Now I don't want her to drive anymore.
So we had to bounce off of that. I had the other side of that. My best friend's mother was a nurse. So when we got to of age for sexual purposes, she would go through and tell us every horrible thing she'd ever seen STD-wise to try to stop us from doing anything inappropriate.
Yuck.
Yep. Helpful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the weird colors and all the fun.
Wow.
Okay. Nope. That wasn't. We could have got through that without the word colors, I think.
Listen. Listen.
Hard agree. Hard agree. Yeah. Someone asked about my skincare routine. That's was the most flattering thing I've ever heard. How did Zach and Michelle meet? I remember enjoying the snippet that you did know about how they were young and adorable and met each other. I glossed over that.
You said you were flattered by the skincare routine question, but you didn't answer it.
I mean, I think what you're seeing is like, you know, a camera and yeah, look, this is like, that's like, touched up appearance. Also, it's extremely bright in here right now.
I've seen you in person. Your skin is like butter.
Like butter?
Uh-huh.
I've never had anyone ask me that before. No one's ever given a crap about what my skincare regime is.
It's not eczema.
I feel like I
right?
need offline about this. Yeah. I mean, listen, I just use very gentle products. I can't take myself seriously.
I use soap.
I use Murphy's oil, floor cleaning soap. I use a lot of gentle products. I use I also like to flip around a lot. I like to like, you know, someone's like, oh, I love this. I use this. So I'm like, I'll try that. And then I don't even know if I stick with anything long enough to say like, I swear by this stuff. I'm always like, oh, that smells good. So it's like really inconsistent.
Do you want to know a fun fact that nobody asked about my skincare routine?
Please.
Do you know what I use on my face?
Murphy's oil soap.
Water.
That's it?
I don't wash
my face. Off?
I don't know. Like, I'm thinking, like, when I take a shower, I have a very specific routine. I wash my hair.
Yeah.
Wash my beard.
Uh-huh.
Rinse it off. Then I get my loofah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I get all the important areas of my body in that. Rinse off. Get out. I have not.
Wash the stinky parts.
I have never in my adult life that I can remember put soap on my face. And look at it. It's like, but it's sunburned better. Is what it is right now. I'm sunburned. But
you know. You look very tan. I couldn't tell if you're sunburned or not.
It's turning into a tan. It's probably all going to peel off next week. I'll have big blotches up here. But yeah, nothing. I think here's my thoughts. I think all of the stuff that they sell women for face care is snake oil. And I think that any issues that I tell Becky that all the stuff she puts on her face to try to do whatever it's supposed to do. I think it's causing the things that you're trying to do. Because I don't put nothing on my face and I don't have...
I'm going to be honest. I forgot we're recording the podcast.
Women love to hear you say that. Women love for you to say...
I take it all
your
back.
Your problems
back.
Are your skincare routine.
Yeah. What? Imagine that. Imagine if that was the scam. That's a podcast in and of itself.
Yeah.
If that was the scam, if they make these miracle face stuff... And it causes you to be like wrinkled and have big pores.
Yeah.
And you, the only way to stop it, like the antidote is more of it.
Uh-huh.
Genius.
You've cracked this wide open. That's what the internet's for. Good luck with your YouTube show. And you and Michelle met when you were in high school?
No, we met after college. High school. We met, no, not college.
College Look era.
Come on, Janet. I didn't go to college.
College era.
I draw pictures for a living. Let's go.
Early tattoo career era.
We will say we met through a friend. And that's how we met.
Right.
Wait, I don't like will say.
It was a friend that I may have been dating.
Whoops. All right.
And then
it. Water out of a duck's ass. It's a long time ago.
Got it.
No foul
play. Don't wash your face with that water, by the way.
Nope. No foul play.
Well, I'm glad that was meant to be because I love Michelle.
And then our first date was at a strip club. That's what we said because we went as a whole big group and we all got paired off and Michelle and I got paired off together.
At the strip club.
At the strip club. And not only that, she looked at her calendar years later and our first date was on February 26th and our son was born on February 26th.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
How about that?
pretty cool.
Vesna says, Vesna also swears by the water routine. See?
Vesna says that she never put anything on her face except water, and people always ask her what her skincare routine is. I'm onto something, Vesna.
You are.
Right?
You definitely are.
You and Brandon, how did you guys meet?
Brandon and I met, he was the editor in chief of the SF Weekly, which was which is like the weekly alt newspaper in San Francisco. And they used to sponsor Sketchfest and also do like a comedy issue for the month. And have like, you know, lots of interviews with the comedians that were coming up and stuff like that. And so he and I had worked together for a couple of years, putting those kind of together. And then one year he started coming to shows more, because usually we were just on the phone or on email. And he came to a show and came to a party afterwards. And I was like, uh-oh. And that was like over nine years ago.
And if you met Brandon, you know why she said, uh-oh, because he is beautiful.
I said that too.
Beautiful man.
When I met him, I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. Does he still got the mustache going on right now?
Does he? No, he shaved that.
Oh.
But it's pretty easy for that guy to come back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not we were just looking at pictures from the, I'll tell you what, we were looking at pictures from the Met Gala, because both of our news feeds told us we desperately needed to see pictures. And there's a lot of guys rocking a simple mustache right now. So I guess the mustache is back.
It's coming back. And I hate it on most guys.
Yeah.
Like the hipster, whatever they're trying to pull.
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon pulls it off real nice.
He does a good job.
I look like I should be in prison if I'm wearing a mustache.
I don't have enough of a jawline to not have a beard. I have to have a beard, so I have a jawline.
I'm not allowed to shave my beard anymore. Becky, when we met, I was a fireman. I was a fireman for 15 years. So I was always clean shaved. We had to be.
Yeah.
And then after I got off when I left the fire department, I grew this beard. And now, like, there was like one time, like 2 years ago, I was like, I'm going to shave this off for the summer. And she lost her mind. She yelled at me and made me grow my beard back. Apparently, I'm ugly without a beard.
I really like a little facial hair also. I mean, I don't object to it. Susan says she hasn't seen a picture of Brandon. I'm looking at this picture of with Zach. I don't know if this is like, he sort of has his head tilted really far back, but this picture of all of us, that's
Look at that Brandon, mustache. That's
Michelle. He is rocking the mustache during Obsessed Fest. Mm-hmm. Me. Mm-hmm. This is Zach Weaver. Yeah. You may recognize him. I was there too,
but I'm not in the picture.
You're in a different picture where it's just the bottom of you.
Yeah. That was such a good picture.
Yeah.
That was so worth it.
What else? Tracy says, I want to know what you and Ducky are cooking up, which I also want to know, because I did not know that you were talking to Mr. John Cryer either. So that's exciting.
We're just talking. We're talking about some things.
Great. Love it.
I don't know. I mean, don't get too excited, because the kind of things John's talking about wanting to do aren't the kind of things that I like to do, if that makes sense.
It does make
sense. There's a lot of John talk trying to talk me into doing some things. This sounds worse than I should.
Are you doing a new show with him called 3½ Men?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's it. John and I are going to start a sitcom, new sitcom.
I like it. I like it.
That would be extremely exciting.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
Chris says, if Janet had a dollar for every time someone asked her about Jim Varney, how many dollars would she have? Chris, I will say Jim Varney comes up, but not as often as you might think. I want to say I only have someone ask me about Jim Varney and if I'm related to him maybe a handful of times a year. Maybe a handful of times a year. I would say maybe four times a year. Do you know who Jim Varney is?
Who's Jim Varney?
It's Ernest.
Perfect. That's Ernest. Ernest. Yeah.
Like Ernest, Ernest goes to camp.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's your dad?
No relation. No.
Are you related
relation.
To Jim Varney?
I am not related to Jim Varney.
Is Jim Varney your uncle?
I am not, but I convinced
that was
one of my best friends.
30
yeah.
seconds.
Thank you. I've made $3 this year because I think no one's asked me. Well, I guess if we count Chris, your question, Chris, then I've made $4 this year. No, he was like, but I did convince my friend Tina, like, I don't know if it was our junior or senior year. At some point, and I'm not really like a practical jokester at all, but for some reason, I was just in the mood when she was like, wait, I just found out Ernest's name is Jim Varney. Are you guys related? And I was like, just for no reason at all. I was like, yeah, it's my dad's brother. Have I not talked about that before? And then I persisted in lying about that. And then to the
That's
point
how I got
where
into show business, he
yeah,
broke me.
Yeah. It's well, no, but this is like in high school. So I was not in show business, but she didn't really believe me. And so she was like, kept calling my bluff. And I just kept saying it's true. And then at some point she was over at my house and she was like, okay, if Jim Varney's your uncle, where's the pictures with your dad? And I just like, because the stakes were zero, there was no stakes at all. I was like, I'll show you. And I just got out like an old photo album of my dad's. And I just flipped forward until I found like a blurry enough picture of my dad with someone that like you couldn't really tell. And it was clearly like 20 years before that. And I was like, there you go. And she goes, oh, my God, I can't believe that's your uncle. And then I let her believe it for like 5 minutes before I was like, no, it's absolutely not my uncle. That's
you know,
total
super
bullshit.
Interesting about that. Is she asked you the question?
Yeah.
So she must have thought it was a possibility. And yet when you told her that it was.
She was like, no.
She's like, no.
No.
It's
no
like, why did you ask the question if you were
question.
So sure that
it's a great
not.
Point. It's a great point. I never thought about that. But yeah, so no to Jim Varney. But I did know who he was before he became like a Hollywood guy because he used to do these local commercials in Denver. And one of my dad's best friends lives in Denver. And so we would like go on little road trips and stuff. And my dad's friend would, he thought those commercials were so funny that he would record them all and like play, be like, ah, Phil, I've collected a bunch of great Ernest commercials for you. And then he would just play them through and it'd be like,
so the Ernest character
was born. Why don't you come down to, like Denver Jeep. Yeah.
So that's where that character came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Isn't that funny?
Cool
yeah.
story. Yeah.
And he's supposed to be a lovely and wonderful man, so I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet him. Jenna says man or bear. I realize I don't know what that's in reference to.
There's something going, I don't know, I'm an idiot, but there's something going around on Facebook.
Okay.
With the man.
So it wasn't, question. It didn't have to do with your AMA, because I was like, I don't remember anything about that.
No, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to move on to the next question.
Research.
I'm going to look up what she's talking about.
Kathy says, when are y'all coming back to Texas?
Tuesday.
Texas? I have no plans to go back to Texas anytime
Kathy,
soon.
Kathy, I'm going
to
be at Tokyo X in Houston, but that's all the way in Houston. I will be there like next month. But that
Janet,
is, again,
but not
in
Tuesday.
Houston. Yeah.
So that question, I think, was directed at you. So what I found was Man or Bear from one day ago on CNN. It says, the question directed towards women seems simple.
Oh,
would you rather be alone
bear.
In the woods?
Bear. That's
with a
right.
Man
I did have this
bear.
Conversation with someone. Yes, 100% did have this conversation with someone. Heard that was going around, and I agree. As many women have, I would feel like I stood a better chance with the bear.
The
version of that
of
is
society.
Well, no, the version of that is local that is very much true is that when we had P-22, our mountain lion in Griffith Park, and I used to go up and hike by myself in Griffith Park in very open spaces where there were a lot of other people. But nevertheless, like, we would have the conversation where, you know, I was more concerned about a man than like running into a mountain lion. You know, I was like, listen, if I'm going to be by myself, what I'm afraid of is a human predator, not a wild cat. So,
yeah. And this is a good example for any of you men that are listening that are trying to understand that of the very different ways that are the worlds that we live in. Because when I saw them, I'm like, obviously a man, like,
like
a bear will fuck you up. Like, I don't want to be around a bear.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah,
so will a man if you're a woman.
Yep. Sad state of affairs.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Let's see. Manor Bear. So we answered that. When y'all come back to Texas, answered that as best as we could. Sarah says, do you think true crime podcasting has had a positive influence on how law enforcement and DA offices conduct business? Meaning, do you think the work you and others do for the older cases adjust how current cases are handled?
100%. 100% I do. I know it for a fact because I've talked to detectives, I've talked to prosecutors about it. And they, it's funny because I used to say years ago that my hope was that, you know, in some training for new detectives, that the person delivering the training would say, do your job like some podcaster is going to expose everything you did 20 years from now.
Right.
And there, it seems like there is a version of that going around. Everything from not just the true crime podcasts, that's a big one for sure. But even like the stuff that goes on social media, like the people that are like filming cops and holding them to, you know, they're not going to violate people's constitutional rights and stuff like that. I think that law enforcement is acutely aware at this point, that whatever they do is going to be national news real quick, that everybody there is no more. A lot of these cases, like the case I'm working on right now for season 15, like if I doubt that this would happen, that it would have happened to this person in 2024, because it would have to be in the detectives in the back of their mind that I'm going to get exposed for this. I'm going to lose my career for this. I'm going to lose my reputation for this. It's not that. Obviously, there's still police officers that are doing corrupt things. That stuff still exists, but I think that we're moving at the very least, we're moving the needle on that because of not so much because of what we're doing, me, Zach, Janet, and all the other podcasters, but because of you all, because you, the hundreds of thousands of listeners, millions of listeners out there at all these true crime podcasts, are so engaged and are ready to be activated for any cause. You know, I just went through Sunday was the 31st anniversary of Stevie, Michael, and Christopher being murdered. And I happened to have, when they sent me a version of the closing scene from the Forgotten West Memphis 3 docuseries, you know, they would send me stuff for review before, when they were going through the editing process. And I cut together a little clip of that, and it like brought me to tears afterwards because, you know, that show ended with me saying, you people watching this, don't let this case die. Write, email, call, do what you got to do. Put the pressure on. Don't let them be forgotten. And now we're sitting here, you know, with the Arkansas Supreme Court just sent that back, and we're getting a chance to test that DNA because of all of you. So I think that should answer your question. I mean, they're seeing this stuff happen. So I have to think, I even, in the case we're about to start working, I told the prosecutor in email exchange, I said, listen, I'm going to give you a heads up as a courtesy because, you know, I live in this county and, you know, I've worked with your, not this person, but people in that office in the past. When we tell this story, there's going to be a worldwide audience that is going to be engaged. So, and I was clear, it's like, I'm not threatening you or anything like that or trying to intimidate. I just want you to know, because I don't want something bad to happen here where I live. I want you to know that how you handled this will be critiqued by hundreds of thousands of people from all across the world, and you will hear about it. So just know that's true. And so my hope is that's in the, you know, if it comes to, we need to do DNA testing, we need whatever we need to do, my hope is that will be in the back of their mind. Like, you know, if I fight this, I'm the villain. I'm the villain in this huge story. And that's because of all of you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer. Tony, I want to acknowledge, and you're so right. And I want to acknowledge exactly what you're saying. I think the meme of social media and the conversation is very easy to kind of be glib about and to sort of make a point about, which is often what ends up happening on social media in general. But Tony says, can I say most bears and men are nonviolent towards women? We shouldn't squabble, but unite for women's safety. Absolutely. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I feel every man is a threat or that men are, you know, I hate men or anything like that. I think it's just like, you know, it's easy for someone who lives in a city to have had, like, I've had several really unpleasant encounters with strange men in circumstances that I either could or couldn't control. And so I can only speak for like what my experience has been. Obviously, I have never encountered a bear. I mean, I've seen a bear in the woods. So I think what we're thinking of is like literally like I'm walking through. If I'm completely alone in a space and there's an animal, the animal is probably not going to be that interested in hurting me or interested in me being there. And so you immediately go into this like on alert of like, but the human might have intention. You know what I mean? So,
I don't think you even need to declare.
No, I understand that it doesn't feel good to be like, oh, great, you'd rather run into a bear than like me. I'm just a nice person who would never harm a woman. Like, I get being.
You know. Yeah, for sure. But to me, like, the question is, what would you fear? And that's a personal question. You know, your answer is your answer.
Well, yeah. You know, I want everyone to feel happy and heard. Right. Yeah, actually, Veronica, there's a whole separate thing about you're asking about Labyrinth and Amanda Knox's podcast, and I went down a rabbit hole that I don't know if we have time for, but so put a pin in that, because if we have time for it, I would not mind talking about there's one particular part of that question. Heathers is always looking for updates on previous cases, as many people are. I know you mentioned Sandy and mentioned Robert and Christian, I think, on the original AMA. Right. And always wondering about Sandy. Yeah. And the three of us have talked about that offline too, trying to figure out if there's a way to, you know, kind of revisit Sandy's case or something.
Yeah. And as of right now, like I said, like I always tell you guys, if there's a major update in the case, we'll definitely, you won't have to ask. At this point, you know, the IPTX has it and they're working on their investigation and building their stuff right now. I don't have anything that I can share on it right now.
Gotcha. Rachel says, can Janet answer some questions since she couldn't be here? Yeah, sorry guys, my whole production got pushed by an hour, so I was very screwed. I was just sitting at the studio. How did you get into voice acting? I very much want to pursue voice acting but struggle where to start. So this is not, I don't want this to be a cop-out answer, Rachel, but my follow-up question for you would be, have you already studied acting? Because that's the number one thing, is that I think some folks feel like maybe more comfortable with the idea of being behind a mic than being out on stage or out in front of a camera. And it is a very different experience and it can attract a different type of person. But everyone I know still went through the rigmarole of like just taking acting classes or taking improv classes or both. It's hard to just like go from not having studied any acting to going into voiceover because the expectation from people is still like, you need to have studied theater and you need to, you know, kind of know those ropes. And then you can work with a coach or take a voiceover class to kind of get more comfortable with a mic and the experience of not being, you know, in front of people or necessarily acting with other people, but just being in front of a mic. There's a great website that D. Bradley Baker, who does like every, seems like he does certainly almost every creature voice in anything ever, but also is a phenomenal just actor playing human characters. D. Bradley Baker has a website called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com. And he created that just out of the goodness of his heart. And it's chock full of advice and sort of like, okay, here's where you start if you're starting from ground zero. Here's what you're, if you're this person looking for this opportunity and you've already taken the classes, then I recommend this. It's great. Hopefully, and I do always say take improv, even though it's terrifying, and because it just, I think it lets people be more forgiving of themselves and take more chances. Sorry for that long answer for anybody who wasn't interested in that. Natasha says, one for Zach, after everything you've now heard about the Haman Lee case, what are your thoughts about Adnan being convicted for that crime?
Well, I have the advantage of seeing everything with hindsight, so for me, I mean, it's a terrible injustice to see that he was convicted of these crimes. Now, at the time, I, being ignorant of this case, and I don't know what was actually presented at court in that first trial, or what, I don't know how they convicted him. So I can't say anything about that. But as far as like what I know in totality right now, it's a horrible injustice.
I agree.
Yeah. It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Allie says, not a question, but just in case you didn't see us MA people posting in here yesterday, that's Massachusetts, please rent a car for the Berkshire Podcast Fest. It's so far out in the boonies and Ubers and Lyfts are non-existent, and it will be cheaper to rent a car for the entire weekend than Uber back and forth from the airport.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm helpful. So glad for our listeners, because I certainly would have showed up at the airport and been like, all right, guys, let's get an Uber. And that's not a thing there from what all the listeners were saying. So the three of us and our partner should talk about, what do we get, a minivan? Do we get two cars? What do we do?
Hold on.
Zach's not part of the conversation. Don't include
me. You talk to my partner. Michelle.
Yeah.
Rolling up in an Escalade. Okay.
Yeah.
Brenda said, and Brenda, I love that you brought this up, because it's been a minute since this happened. Bob was enthralled with your elk hunt story. It had everything. Suspense, suffering, a happy ending. I would add stabbings. That's not in there, but I know Brenda agrees with me. There were stabbings. Blueberry bourbon reduction, too. Have you used it in your act? Have you received a refund? Have you left a detailed Google review? Brenda, thank you for bringing back up the elk hunt story.
I've not put it into my act, no. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I guess I could, just like anything, I could make it funny, but it wasn't funny at all. did not get a refund. And truthfully, I'm ashamed to admit that I have been, I did put a review, I think it was on Google, about it, but there were some things there that I probably should have filed a complaint with Colorado Fish and Wildlife. And I actually told the owner of the outfit that I was going to do that, and then I didn't do that. So I should still, only because, I mean, it is whatever for me, for my experience. I don't regret the experience, but there are other people that I think that need to know, which is why I did do the Google review. Like, hey, this is what you can expect from this group if you're going to go do this thing.
Yeah.
But no, I have not. And thanks for the reminder. I guess I should follow through, because one thing that I don't do is make empty threats. And that's precisely what I did in this one.
See, that's funny.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Janiyah says, did you read Amanda Knox's article? Here's where we were going with that. On the man she thought was wrongfully convicted of murder and helped get out of prison may actually have done it. I did read that article that you posted, Janiyah. It was fascinating. It was really interesting. It was really interesting. And it was a good kind of, like, it was an interesting checkpoint, not unlike the season, you know, that Maggie did, where she sort of found out the hard way that she thought this person really was responsible. But in this case, this guy actually got paroled and was out. What's interesting about it to me was that the person that she ended up having on her podcast that she talked to also wrote an extraordinarily lengthy article about how Adnan is guilty. And it was just packed full of incorrect unfacts and just did the exact same thing that everyone accuses people on the other side of doing, which was like, and I don't know if it was just a person, you know, again, if it was intentional or if it was like they just didn't get all the information or they didn't, but another person who was, yeah. But anyway, so Amanda had this journalist, if you will. I don't think he's a journalist, but whatever. This guy who wrote this thing on Adnan. I said, I know that name. When I read the article that Janiyah posted on our Facebook page, I said, I know that name because Amanda was told that this gentleman had sort of made a big part of his life or his hobby or something about debunking this idea that this guy who was in prison was not guilty. He was saying, you know, no, he fully is guilty. And he had written up this whole thing. And Amanda ended up having this guy on her podcast and they talked about it. And so she's kind of going through this process of like, I think this person is actually responsible for this crime. So that was all very interesting. And it was a very interesting, it sounded like a very different, everything I read about it sounded like a very different situation than Adnan. But it was hard for me to kind of take that, you know, I had to take that with a grain of salt, having read something else by that same person that
Is it the person that wrote the article thinks the guy is guilty, or does Amanda agree that she thinks that the guy is probably guilty?
She agrees that the guy is probably guilty.
Okay.
And after everything I read, I was like, sure, sounds like it. I mean, I see how it all happened, but
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but how did they get him out? It's so hard. Well, you said there's released on parole.
He got paroled. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to get paroled, but all the public pressure, because he did have a bunch of people, a bunch of famous people, in fact, got behind him. There was a documentary about him. It was a situation where some like DNA testing was done on blood spots, and the DNA did not match the blood spot that had been thought to be his. And then they tested the DNA that they found some incremental DNA within the blood that was inconsistent with this man's DNA. And so they came up, there was this narrative that there were two unidentified men who must have been responsible for this. And then in looking closer at the DNA itself, it was like, oh, well, it's entirely possible that this DNA was not actually from the blood. It was like DNA that was under the blood spatter or something like that, yeah. Which then made her go back and look at all of the stuff that she professes to have like pushed away that was like really tough, bad facts. But yeah. That she was like, I just made it about the DNA. The DNA spoke for itself. And so it's a little different in the sense that like this, like, for example, this guy confessed multiple times. Not to say that that doesn't happen with other cases where it's, you know, wrongful convictions and false confessions, but it's a really interesting story.
Yeah. In the chat, Crystal wanted to know if I've talked to Jim Clemente lately and wants to know if I foresee him helping with the upcoming case. Says, I love it when we have him on. I talked to Jim last week. I talked to him this week, and I'm going to talk to him on Thursday because he is actually on the advisory board for my class at the high school, because we're doing that investigative journalism class. And so Jim is on the advisory board there because he's going to help with some of that stuff, teaching the kids, the students stuff about profiling. And he's going to be kind of a sounding board for us for whatever case that we end up working through that, our project through that course last year. As far as this next season, I don't know if we'll have Jim on for this one because you'll see. I don't necessarily think this case needs a profile. You'll see what I mean when we get to it. But so I don't know if he'll be on this one, but anytime we do need him, of course he'll be on. We love Jim to death. He is both a friend of the show and a friend of me personally. So anytime I can pick his brain, I'm gonna do that.
Absolutely. Janaya also says, Bob, could your students create an episode for us outlining a case of someone they feel is wrongfully incarcerated? So that would be not the class you're teaching now, but the kind of journalism class you're getting ready to put together.
So the idea of that class is the class ends with them creating their own podcast, like a serialized podcast. So the whole idea, because I have to tie it into not just the investigation, but also into broadcasting multimedia content creation, utilizing the skills that they learned this year. So the idea is we'll be investigating it along the way, and they'll be writing and recording and editing it into. So at the end of next school year, we should be releasing a podcast about that process, you know, that they'll be fully student produced. Still trying to figure out how that works, if it'll be something we'll put out on the, you know, through NBI Studios or through the school. It turns into, you know, if it goes out, if they put it out and it's super popular, there's revenue that should go to the kids, and we got to figure out how to make that happen. We thought about doing something and making kind of a scholarship fund. So, but anyway, that's sausages made type of stuff. But the answer to your question is, yeah, you're definitely going to hear about it if you want to hear about it, because part of the, you know, their job is to create a podcast about it.
Great. Very, very cool.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
Kathy says, have you listened to the Dax Shepard podcast with the sociopath? It was fascinating. I did not, but I read an interview with her. She's written a couple of books, and I'm reading one right now. She explains that while she can feel some emotions, others elude her, like empathy and guilt. There's a ton more. Very interesting. I feel sorry for her because she was born this way and can't help how she feels, or rather doesn't, and would much prefer to be neurotypical.
You can interview her and ask how society can help people like her avoid a life of crime.
I would love to. I have not heard it. My wife, Becky, listened to it and like was like, she was fascinated by it and broke it down to me. And so it's on my list to do. I would certainly love to interview that person. I don't know if the same person that interviewed with Dax Shepard is going to interview with Bob Ruff. But if that's something that's possible, I would love to. I'll tell you this. I'll try because that stuff fascinates me too.
Oh, yeah.
From what Becky told me about the interview. It's just so interesting to hear somebody who is, you know, a diagnosed sociopath and is like very aware of it and doesn't like that and just fully explaining it, because you just usually don't hear that.
Right.
Like from that perspective.
Well, I think she became a therapist, right? I mean, if it's the same person I'm thinking of who recently released this book, she's a therapist and she sort of found that it's very useful for her to kind of have this sort of objectivity. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would find that really interesting too. Grayson wants to know if you would ever start back up with Bob and Weave or True Crime Binge. Misses those.
I mean, I would love to do both of those things. It's just a matter of bandwidth and time for both of us. You know, when we started that, Zach's two littles were littler with less activities and less stuff going around. And my kids were not, you know, where they're at now, where they're a lot more busy, plus the teaching and all that stuff. And also we also used to have Mike full time sitting here editing stuff so we could just toss stuff to him and he did it. So I would love to. I'll never say never, but I don't know. It'd be tough. But I will tell you that, and Grayson, you know this because you're a patron. If you loved Bob and Weave and you love that kind of talk show, talk about anything type stuff, that's the pregame show. That's what the patrons get. You know, we do an hour episode every week, the three of us, that is not about true crime, where we just talk about whatever's topical and organic and we have some fun and stuff like that. So it's a similar vibe. That's how we kind of scratch that itch, is during the pregame show that patrons get on Wednesdays. So that's always an option for you.
And then Grayson also brought up my appearance on the Movie Crush podcast that Chuck used to host. Chuck from Stuff You Should Know, one of my dear friends, love him. He asked me to be on the very first episode of that. I talked about the movie Tron. I'm not sure that's what he was hoping for. He might have been hoping for like an Oscar-winning movie, but I wanted to talk about Tron from 1982. But yeah, and then what other podcasts have I done or been on? Boy, give a little search, just because I love doing other people's podcasts. So I pop up on a lot of comedy podcasts.
She's been on Never Not Funny several times, which is how
always a joy.
If you guys know, that's how I knew who Janet was.
Go back and
reached out to me
last week's episode.
Somebody had said in the chat, and then somebody just re-referenced it here, that there was an update in the Pinion Pines as far as habeas. So that was it might have been March or January, whatever it was. Their federal habeas has been filed. There's nothing new in that. Because there was a bunch of people that the internet trolls are all like, look, they didn't use any of the stuff that Bob found during the podcast. And the federal habeas is a different animal than the state habeas. State habeas that's coming in the fall will be where you'll see any new information that's coming out.
Yeah. But I will say that I had just texted with B and with Robert's sister, with Robert's wife and sister, and had sent a little video over there for the guys and stuff, and they just wanted to reiterate how much they appreciate everyone asking about them and sending good thoughts and prayers and all that kind of good stuff. You know, it's a serious marathon, and so every time we give them a little love, that just gives them that little push, just like we all talk about having when we hear back from your edates and, you know, people, like, just when they get that little boost of love, like, they really feel that, and it kind of helps them, you know, take the next thing on and face the next day.
Yeah, for sure. And for those of you that don't know, I don't think we've talked about this, but I think it was about a month ago, Robert's older brother passed away too. So they've been dealing with a lot of tragedy all at once. And that's something that Robert's had to deal with from prison, which makes it even harder. So the family's dealing with a lot. So anybody that wants to reach out and give them just an encouraging hello, we're thinking about you, is always accepted.
Yeah. Wait, Jennifer, where did your question go? I'm just realizing I saw it on Facebook and I copied it and put it in a document and then it just didn't make it over.
While you're looking for, let me answer real quick Crystal's question in the chat. She wanted a quick rundown of who's still locked up from our cases. So season one, Adnan obviously is out. Season two, both Ed and Kenny are out. Season three, Jesse Eldridge still in, waiting on DNA testing on his case, hoping that we are getting close to him being out. As you guys know, the only piece of evidence against him was Troy, who has recanted, and they're doing some testing, so hopefully he'll be out soon. Season four, George Powell, he's out. Season five, West Memphis 3, they were already out, and now we're getting ready to go back into court to hopefully test the evidence and fully exonerate them and hopefully lock up the person that actually killed Christopher, Michael, and Stevie. Season six, Sandy Milgar, she's still in. Innocence Project Texas has her case right now, working on that. Season seven, Jamie Snow is still in the Exoneration Project, and there's another Innocence organization and it's escaping. Was it Georgetown was part of that? I don't remember. There's another Innocence organization working on his case too. Jamie's is a tough one. He is still in. That was, Jamie Snow. We just had he was fighting to do some DNA testing that just got denied. The hardest thing about Jamie's case, I've said this before, is that the case was so flimsy against him. There was never strong evidence. The way I understand it, right? So he was convicted in a very weak case. But now that he's convicted, all that weak evidence is considered fact. So you have to, in order to get a actual innocence exoneration, you have to disprove, but it's like you're trying to disprove something that was already mushy. So it's tough. And there wasn't, a lot of forensic evidence. It was a bunch of hearsay. We've had a ton of people recant. We had people recant live on our show about his case. So that one is still a struggle. Season eight, Deborah. Why did that one almost escape me? She passed away in prison. So that one is, that one's over. 10 was...
Wait, did you say Sandy already?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Yep. I was in the middle of reading two other questions.
10 was Jennifer... was 10 Jennifer Jeffley and then Pablo Velez or other way around? I'm trying to remember.
Jennifer, then Pablo, I believe.
Yeah, so Jennifer Jeffley, she is still in. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I haven't heard much from that camp as far as what's going on with her case. It was an awful tragedy, and hopefully she gets out. Then we have Pablo Velez, who have been still fighting to get him out. That was another one of those cases. It was just absolutely insane that he is. It's insane to me that he is still in prison. It's very obvious. One of those cases where very, very easily, factually, he's innocent. But to find what they need to prove that in court to overcome the burdens has proven to be difficult so far. But they're still working on that. And of course, Pinyon Pines, you guys know about that. And then we are up to where we are now. So there's the rundown.
So speaking of Jamie Snow, I found Jennifer's question. Jennifer says, I need advice on how to balance getting media attention on a wrongfully convicted person's case with not having it interfere with the person's lawyer's post-convictions strategies. I'm, of course, thinking of Jamie Snow's case, but it goes for the other wrongful convictions as well. For instance, if it's already out in the public that there has been at least one Brady violation committed in the case, will spotlighting it in the media affect a post-conviction strategy if it's focused on DNA testing? It seems to me that exposing the corruption in a wrongful conviction can really help push the legal system to do what they should do, such as test the DNA.
That's tough because what I always default to is the attorneys. What do the attorneys want us to do? If they're saying, go blast them, let's go to the media, then that's what we do. If they're saying, and the reason for that is there's stuff going on sometimes that you don't know about that's happening behind the scenes. Like a lot of times in our cases, like I may know about it, but I'm not at liberty to share it. But when they're telling me, hey, don't anybody blast them right now. Sometimes it's because maybe they're in talks with a law enforcement agency or a prosecutor and things are going well and they don't want to piss them off. They don't want to rock the boat. So there could always be. So if there's an attorney saying, hey, we don't want to do this right now, even though it may not make sense to you, you have to respect that. And it can be frustrating sometimes, like I said, I've made clear, Jennifer Jeffley's case, I had a real disagreement with the way that her attorney was handling that case. I hope that I was wrong and he was right and things are going well. But I mean, he had told me when I started the case, I still remember we were starting in like December, and he said, you know, I wouldn't plan on a long season. I'm going to have her out of there by February, and was serious about him. Like,
yeah,
what are you talking about? Like, that's not going to, and now it's been years and they're still in there. So that can be frustrating. But at the end of the day, for us, our mission is to right the wrongs, to find the truth, to bring justice, right? So our mission is the case, and we're not going to do something if the attorneys are the ones that are who actually have to take the ball across the finish line.
Right.
End zone. There's a better analogy there than what I just said.
I'm comfortable.
The ones that have to finish the race. Great. The ones that have to make it. Where's Colin when you need
carrying the ball, finishing the race with a ball in their hand. Sure.
With a ball in their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the attorneys are the ones that have to, that have to actually do the work. And if they're the one, so we don't want to handcuff them. We don't want to mess up their strategy. So that's got to be the balance, is if, you know, if attorneys are telling you slow down. That's also why some, like Jamie Snow's case, I haven't talked to his attorney since all that, but when people were asking, we need to write and we need to do this and do that, you know, that's why I said, wait a minute, because, or I think people were wanting me to interview Jamie. And I was like, even if Jamie's like, yes, and we're all like, yes, let's hear from Jamie. Not until an attorney tells me that's okay, because that could very much affect his. So we just got to be real cognizant of that and just be careful.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We're running a little low on time. I think maybe we'll close it out with Andy's question. If you could solve one unsolved murder from throughout history, which would it be?
West Memphis 3.
I have to piggyback on that. I can't not piggyback on that.
It's a close second for me is JonBenet. And it's all, not that there's not a million other super important cases, but those are ones that I'm familiar with that just eat at me all the time.
I would add to that, I don't know if it's Asha or Aisha, but I'm going to say Aisha. Aisha Degree. I don't know if you guys know that story, but that one bothers me so much. It just is. Some stick with you for some reason or other, and that one is just really hard. And those are all, you know, fairly contemporary. It's not like we're like who took the what's his face's baby,
Lindbergh, Charles Lindbergh.
Thank you.
Yeah. So glad I got a W on that after that ball across the finish line business.
Yeah. Goal line.
Yeah. Goal line. That might, you could have said that when I was in the
I was just letting you go. I didn't give me goal line.
Goal line.
Yeah.
Susan in the chat says, what about JFK? That would be, I mean, it's solved, but we don't know if it's solved, right? Just a no for sure.
Yeah.
How are we solving there's it? A bunch get a time
of,
machine?
There's a bunch of no for sures. Like, I don't even know if Asha was murdered. I'm sure she's not alive anymore. It seems very likely, but I think it's like to be absolutely certain, even if you kind of think you know, or everyone has decided they know, but there's still a question. It's like to really actually 100% know without any reasonable doubt at all.
I think it involves a time machine.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
JV asked me when I was on our podcast this exact question, and I said West Memphis 3.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
he did.
It just touches me too much. Like when I learned about the case, I was the age of Damien and Jason and Jesse.
Yeah.
And then at the time that you reinvestigated the case, I have children that are 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And then the three boys that have passed were born the same year I was born. So I think about what those, you know, watching my kids play sports, and I think about what they missed out on life because of this. It's tragic.
And it's just one of those cases where it's like, it seems so, and Delphi is another one too, right there, where it's like, the answer should have been, it's easy to get frustrated for me with like the West Memphis 3 case, because when we know now what we know now, right? It's like this, if they hadn't messed up so bad in the beginning, no one would ever heard of this case. Outside of West, I mean, maybe because it was a triple homicide of 3 8-year-olds, so obviously that would have made some news, but we wouldn't still be talking about it. You know, if they hadn't jumped to the conclusion that this had to be Satan worshipers, this had to be Damien Echols, and all those injuries have to be, you know, sacrificial stuff. If instead they did just what a normal investigation does, interview the people closest to them. Interview like the fact that they have family members that were never even interviewed, that were, you know, houses that were never searched, and, you know, neighbors that were never talked to, canvas, any of that stuff. It's just a series of stupid mistakes that has left the mystery alive. Mm-hmm. And Delphi is like, and not that anybody did anything stupid in Delphi, but Delphi was one of those where it's like, they have a video of the guy. You know, like I remember, like right after it came out, it's like, well, how long is it going to be? How many hours before they catch this guy? He's right there. It's a small place. There's not a lot of people there, and there he is on video. Like, how is it just seems like it's too easy not to have solved it for it to have gone on this long. So, yeah, a lot of those cases nag at me.
Yeah, a tough one. I think about, like I said, I think about it. Right, I turned 40 this year, my 40th birthday. So, Christopher and Stevie and Michael would all be 40 this year.
Yeah.
We'll be turning 40 this year. And it's hard.
Yeah. Missed out on so much. All right. Is that all the questions, JV?
I think I mean, there's a handful more, but we've already gone over an hour, so we should probably
wrap this thing up. All right. Well, thank you guys all for engaging in all of this. If you're watching this live and you're a patron, make sure if you're able to, you can pop in through the Patreon app. You'll get the notification. 10:30 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning, I'm talking to Susan Simpson from the Proof Podcast. If you're not a Patreon or a patron, great time to join. Helps us keep the lights on, helps us pay for those open records requests. That's how we keep things flowing. So at the $5 a month level, you get all that stuff, the pregame, all the early interviews, participate live and all that stuff. So check that out, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. All music for the show is created and composed by Shane Yoder at PutThemInASong.com. The font you see on all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com designed, created, manages, and maintains our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Erica Cantor, Melissa Cardenas, Kay Wood Yomnick, and Danielle Rohr. And as always, thank you to all of you for your engagement and your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can do that in a number of ways. The number one way for you to support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. If you join our Patreon, not only will you be financially supporting our work, but you'll also get something for your pledge. For just $5 per month, you'll get all episodes ad-free and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups that include an hour-long pre-show chat exclusive to our patrons. Other levels will get you a Truth and Justice Army t-shirt, Truth and Justice hats, and even the opportunity to co-host a Friday follow-up episode. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a case that you'd like us to consider covering, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. To follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found @BobRuffTruth, Janet can be found @JanetBarney, and Zach is @Z2TheQ. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 14, Episode 27, Bob's Ask Me Anything. And that's exactly what we got.
I'm sorry. Did you hear it?
I heard ask me anything.
That's what I... Did you say Bob's ask me anything?
I don't know. I might have.
Mo-do! .us
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.US.